Welcome to the Cyclomatic Fallcast.
It's Friday. It's after work.
And this is the Cyclone Fanatic Fallcast.
Get my geek on. Get my geek on.
The Cyclone Fanatic Fallcast is presented by Iowa's most recommended real estate agent, Mark Charter.
Now, hear this.
No other agent in Iowa offers more when you buy or sell your home through Mark Charter, including a customizable commission plan when you list your home. You choose 5, 6, or 7%. Read more about Mark Charter and see why he is Iowa's most recommended realtor at Trulia.com and MarkCharter.com.
This is how we roll.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter, Chris Williams, and Adam Gray.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Happy Friday to you. Clones have Texas Tech tomorrow. We're going to be extremely arrogant about that basketball game here for the next hour or so because Iowa State, you know, Percy Gibson could be on the team and they could win tomorrow. That's my opinion. Well, you hear that new intro, Mark Charter? It's a hell of an intro you guys put together.
It is a new intro. I love it because there's a lot more Mark Charter in it, if you notice.
Yeah.
That. And that was not by request. It just happened to turn out that way.
Mark Charter.
My wife was listening to it the other day when the famous John Liebel sent it to us. And she's like, I don't know if I like it as much as the last one. Because the last one, it pumped her up. It was a little kind of techno at the end, whatever. Yeah. But once the country music, which we've established you don't think is country music, kicks in.
That's not real country music.
That got me going a little bit, though. I kind of dig that jam. I do.
Well, you can dig the jam, but don't call it country music.
Oh, okay. For me, country music.
John was like, oh, we put some country in here for Chris. Really?
So you think George Strait, one guitar, twangy, is country music?
Correct.
I'm not an expert, so I can't disagree.
I just think that I don't have a problem with Florida Georgia Line.
Like, yes, you do.
Clearly, to what I was going to say.
Clearly, you do.
They could make whatever type of music they want. I'm fine with that. But I think they're douchebags.
But you don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with their music. Like, do whatever you want. But
just
don't
call it country.
So yeah. you're saying they are Correct. They're pop?
Correct.
So what makes country country? It's the sound?
It's like the definition of obscenity, okay?
Different thing to different people?
Yeah, like, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know when I see it.
Speaking of obscenities, did you have a good time at the Shittily D the other day? I'll never forget the name of that. I'll probably never go to Clarinda, and no. I'll probably never go to Shittily D.
Now that you've said that, I'm inviting you to my home.
Well, your home's in Bonnerant, though.
No, but my real home.
Oh, your real home.
I'm just basically, it's like renting time in Bondurant.
Home is where mom and dad live, apparently.
Eventually, we're going back. We're gonna settle.
The Shittily D. Did you ask him where the name came from? I wanted you to ask.
Kevin was not there.
Darn it.
Yeah, unfortunately. We had a nice time, though. It was, Clones had just beaten West Virginia, and I didn't stay that late. I just went and had a couple of beers. It was not a cracking night at the Shittily D, but it was it's always a good time.
Gray, have you been there?
I have been to the Shittily D. Yes, I have.
And it's literally, this is like a Morton building with beer, right?
Yeah, like a 27-inch flat screen TV, black and white.
You're being generous. It's not.
Jeez. It's probably not 27 inches. Yeah.
No.
There's really. Is there anything in there?
There's a pool table, jukebox, dance floor. Card table in the back.
Is this on a guy's
open
property?
Open floor is not considered just a dance floor.
No, it is.
It's a big open space.
No, it's got wooden floor. It's a dance floor.
Huh. I did find it, but the day you went there, I Googled Clarinda bars, and two popped up. I think it was the Ice House.
Yep.
And there was one other one.
The Indeclaire.
Yeah, and those were easy to find. Whatever. I had to go to like page 3 to find the Shittily D.
Hey,
so
that's the.
You need to get them to advertise on this podcast, man.
I don't think they could afford it.
Oh, darn it.
But I'm telling you, we've got it. Do you golf, Charter?
I do.
Okay, so this is what we'll do. We'll do a big golfing Southwest Iowa golf excursion. It'll actually be really fun. Grace played down there. We had a good time.
Yes, we did.
And we will do the Shiddly D right, and I will get some of my buddies, some of the farmers back home, and we will do it right this spring. How's that sound? So when Gray was there, Gray's lame arse was falling asleep at the bar.
Really?
And I had Kevin light the moonshine on fire on the bar.
There's in front of his face.
There's more to this story than what you're letting on.
Well, were you falling asleep at the bar?
I was falling asleep at the bar.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're falling asleep at the bar.
Okay, to be fair to Gray, though, was this like 9 o'clock at night when this was happening or more like 1?
1 in the morning?
This was not 1 in the morning.
It was probably about 1.
You're a liar.
2, maybe 2 in the morning.
It was like maybe midnight, 11:30 midnight. Bloom was there. Bloom and I were having a hell of a time.
That the most embarrassing part is not that I was falling asleep at the bar, is that I could not outlast Brent Bloom that night.
We had fun that night.
That was a good time.
Gosh, that was fun.
See, I've never gone drinking with any of you guys, so like I hear the names, but I don't know if you guys are all wusses or if you're.
Hey, you ready for your life to change, Charter?
Is it going to change with the Shiddly D?
Yes, in fact, it will.
I'm looking forward to it.
On a good night, you know, Betsy will be bartending. We can get her out of do a little two-stepping.
What's Betsy look like?
She's a bigger boned older lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she can pour a Jack and Diet like you wouldn't believe, though.
She doesn't skip you on the Jack, does
Betsy,
she?
No. Betsy sounds like a good time.
She's great, and we'll get her out there. She loves dance, two-stepping to George.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So is there line dancing taking place?
No.
No?
No.
I bet you know how to do line dancing, though, don't you?
I've danced a time or two in my life.
He knows.
I think I got this figured out, why you like the Shiddly D so much.
Why?
It's because that jukebox is from about 1985.
It's great.
So it's all George Strait all the time.
It's old stuff.
Dude, and it's great because Kevin, my guy in there, you know, he'll give me like $5 and quarters when I walk in.
Yeah?
We let it ride.
How many people, if there's 20 people at the Shiddly D, how many are wearing cowboy boots?
20?
No, I'd say like 10.
Okay.
But first off,
I need to know how to dress.
What you're wrong is if there's 20. I don't think there ever been 20 people.
Oh, that's a bunch of bull crap.
Am I wrong?
Oh no, it's way.
That's nothing but bull crap.
There's usually more people there than that.
I fell asleep there because there were 6 people in this bar.
Yeah, because he was bored, man.
We were. I'll never forget that night. We were, I think, watching like USC played like Hawaii or something like that in the middle of the night. Good
times. They almost lost, I think.
I don't remember, but nonetheless, okay, we're gonna do it, and this is going to be great. Maybe we could do a post morning podcast from Clarinda.
Yep.
That'd be
I'd like that. Hey, by the way, can we recap something real quick?
Yeah.
Because I had someone on Fanatic the other day asking me what happened with our football picks. Did we have a did I win that?
You had to have.
I'm pretty sure I did.
What did happen there, Gray? You were the scorekeeper.
Yeah, well, see, I was in the lead going into the bowl season by like maybe a game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my picks were so bad that I just figured I didn't.
Oh, yeah, your bowl season was rough.
It was terrible.
Well, it was rough for everybody.
Yeah.
The bowl season was awful.
It was not good. So I just figured we'll give it to Mark this year, you know. We didn't
need Booyah!
To.
Tip of the cap.
Booyah. Yep.
Good for you.
I'm a rookie, no more.
I will say, though, I did pick the Wisconsin game right after you two both.
Yep, no, you
called me out on that
one. LSU should have won that game.
Now,
Auburn.
Auburn. Was it Auburn?
Right?
LSU. Yes.
Yeah, it was Auburn.
Yeah. Yes,
now,
yes,
give
yes.
me credit, Gray, if you want to take all the credit. I nailed my Arkansas-Texas game.
You did. You did. I did not see that embarrassment coming.
Yeah, so
Texas.
We're even.
Yeah, we are.
We're even.
We
Charter, what was your lock? Did you have your lock for that podcast? I don't even.
You're asking me to think back several weeks.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I got to plug something else too here. Go ahead. You're going to say something, but I do want to plug a business that has nothing to do with Fanatic, etc. But I want to let people know about it. So, you know,
do you want to give your advertising space to somebody else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's really nice of you.
No, I mean, go ahead.
I do. Because I mentioned this on Fanatic.
I saw this. This is the where they lock you in a room and they try and scare the bejesus
out of
you.
So I wanted to. Here's the reason I'm talking about it, though. I'm a big believer in the entrepreneurial spirit. I'm a big believer in that chains kind of suck and whatever.
So that's why you like Fanatic.
That's why I like Fanatic. Yeah. So anything that's unique, original, I want to support that and see that thrive. But I went to a place called Escape Chambers. You can Google that. I don't know their website, but Escape Chambers. And there's two things happening at this building. Apparently, they have a 1.5-story, 2.5-story. I'm not sure. Big laser tag. So anyone that's listening to this that wants a laser tag place, it was crowded with people playing laser tag.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Go ahead.
This is a very relevant point to make. So my dorm, freshman year at Iowa State, mm-hmm. lived in Friley. In our floor, I think we had the nerdiest floor in the history of floors.
Of nerds, yeah.
And it was the night before Iowa State, Iowa football. And, you know, like, campus town's just nuts because you got all the people from Iowa City. We saw a bunch of our floor mates playing laser tag down on campus town.
Mm-hmm.
They're like doing like barrel rolls. Yeah, go ahead.
So they had laser tag. I didn't play laser tag, but I went there specifically. Talk about good advertising. I was driving on the interstate 235 the other day, saw a billboard, black and yellow billboard on 235 that said essentially, can you escape? You have 60 minutes, whatever. And it caught my attention enough to go home and Google that. So I went there. This business has currently, I want to say, three rooms. Each room has its own scenario. And I went with a group. There were six other people there. Basically, they take you down to the basement of this building, put you in a room. And the theme of our room was a sports collector. So the theory is we were going to see this guy's sports collection. He leaves, locks the door, and we have 60 minutes to escape, or he'll come back and anally probe us or something. I don't know. Make up your own mind.
Seriously?
Well, maybe kill us. Oh, that's okay. Better. Because based on what we found, he was going to kill us.
I would rather die.
So they leave the room. On the wall, they have cameras to watch you from outside the room.
The cameras to watch you be anally probed.
Yep. So on the screen in front of you, 60 minutes pops up. Not the news
story. Like the TV
show? No. A 60-minute running clock. You have 60 minutes to escape this room. All they tell you is everything you need is in this room. They don't provide you a clue. They don't tell you what to do. So now seven of us are in a locked room. Our goal is to get out of this room.
Is there restrooms in this?
No.
What if you have to use the restroom?
No bathrooms. I think if it gets bad enough, they'd probably let you out.
What if you have diarrhea?
Well, I don't know. So I don't want to spoil because I think a few people that listen to this may actually want to go do this. But I went into it thinking, I hope this isn't lame. I hope this is challenging. I want to come back and do this again. After having done it, and we escaped the room with 9 seconds left on the clock.
9 seconds?
9 seconds.
That's impressive.
Wow. Yeah, we took so all seven of us were actively involved. But at the end of it, I walked away extremely impressed. And I do want to go back and do some of their other rooms. And the guy said that they have the plans for another room. If anyone's seen the movie Saw.
Oh, God.
They have a room coming that will be Saw-themed where you will start your 60 minutes. Everyone is chained to a wall, handcuffed, in a freezer.
This sounds horrible.
Whatever. It's exciting, though. Like, I wouldn't think on a Saturday afternoon when I went that I would do this thing with friends, and it was kind of exciting and fun, and it was.
If somebody locked me in a freezer, I'd freak out.
Well, yeah, that I would freak out, too.
Yeah.
But what's next? Are they going to put you, like, in a coffin, and you have 60 minutes to get out?
I don't know. But anybody that likes to have fun with friends.
The Undertaker.
New experiences. check out escapechambers.com. And just to lay the gauntlet down, my team escaped with 9 seconds left. I asked the guy, so what percentage of teams don't make it out, et cetera? He said 80% of teams do not escape. And of this 20% that have, since they've been open a couple months or so, the fastest recorded time by any team is 53 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So nobody goes in there and is done in like 10 minutes.
I've never done it, though.
Well, maybe we need a Cyclone Fanatic trip. We need to go to another room.
Maybe we should. We'll do that for you, and then we'll go to the Shittily D in Clarinda for me.
So, by the way, I will be sending the owner this podcast because I expect my next room tour to be free.
Yeah.
Well, I hope with the thousands of dollars we just gave him that the Fanatic guys could get in too.
We don't have to mention that I sell real estate this time, so there I traded it. You're right. So
hey, okay, so you pumped something you're passionate about.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the same. We have a huge game watch on Saturday. The most important game watch in Cyclone Fanatic history is what we're tabbing it as. It's actually really sad. This story that I somebody brought it to my attention via PM on the forum about a family of Fanatics over in Council Bluffs. They're struggling. They're having a hard time fighting cancer. They lost their twins. It's, man, it's just heartbreaking. So I called Ryan at the keg stand. He's a very charitable guy. He always has been. He does things he does a golf tournament every summer where he raises money for, families who need it. I knew he would be all about it. So we're partnering with the keg stand on Saturday. Iowa State tips off at 3. From 2 to 3, it's a $20 cover charge. But in all that $20 is going to this family, and it's complimentary beer and Wells. So, or domestics and Wells. So, I mean, it's basically all you can drink from 2 to 3 on Saturday. Game starts at 3, and then we're to a normal Cyclone Fanatic game watch. So, you're going to be there, aren't you, Gray?
I am.
Good.
First off, I mean, just a heart-wrenching story, but...
Jeez, I can't... You got two kids. I got a baby on the... I can't imagine.
It really makes me sick, and, you know, every night since then, I've sat down with my family for dinner, and we've... just talked about how fortunate we are to have our health and kind of just try to put it in perspective for our kids. And you really take that stuff for granted. But it's just, you know, you put this out here, Chris, and you see the response by Fanatics, and it doesn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to show up Saturday. They're going to help help this family out as much as possible. And that's what's great about the community on Fanatic and all Cyclone fans everywhere. So hope to see a lot of fans out there, and we can raise some money and get a victory.
I actually got a note from Dean's father. Dean is the young guy who, you know, we're trying to help his family, and we've already raised $1,500 on their caring site,
youcaring.com. That's great.
So that's great. Hopefully we can get a couple thousand more.
I'm on there now, by the way. I'm doing an on-air podcast donation myself, and I don't know when you check this thing, but it looks like they've raised over $10,000.
Well, that some of that was before us.
Okay.
Like when we got in on the game, not the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we got in on this, there was like $9,000, I think.
I'm adding to the total for you right now because I hate children dying. That pisses me off. So there you go.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
We appreciate it. Tim Sitzman from Mr. B just donated some money. I was just in at Mr. B Clothing before we recorded this. So, yeah, 2 to 3 at the cake stand, and then we'll all watch Iowa State. Again, I said we're going to be very arrogant about beating Texas Tech on Saturday. Any objections there?
Name your score.
I guess this is a good time to go into the basketball conversation of the podcast, 15 minutes in. So, Mark, you... You know, earlier this week, there was a tweet that I saw. I think, I don't know if you saw it, Adam. Fred Hoiberg, there's a Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp. is that how you read this, Mark? There's a fantasy camp, like, that lived the life of an Iowa State basketball player?
Yeah, so let's break this down here, because I have a feeling that somebody that listens to the podcast may actually attend this thing.
Yeah, I guarantee you people listening to the podcast will want to go to this.
So what I wanted to determine today was – so let me run down a few of the perks you get with this thing and then talk about who's likely going to go to it. So the Fred Hoiberg Fantasy Camp.
Is that what it's actually called? The Fred Hoiberg Fantasy Camp?
Basically.
This is great.
The first annual Iowa State Basketball Fantasy Camp. That's what it's called.
Okay.
All right, June 26th through June 28th. It's at the Cyclones Practice Facility and at Hilton Coliseum. You get a few things. You get a couple nights stay at a hotel, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all of those days. You get a lot of swag, a lot of gear, including two Iowa State official uniforms, jersey shorts with your name on the back.
You get home and away or two home?
Home and away.
Yep. All right.
You also get a bunch of Nike headbands, wristbands, shirts. You get one pair of Nike shoes. You get an autographed ball by Hoiberg, and you get a picture opportunity with everyone that's at the camp. It does say that the coaches will be current players. Current players and coaching staff. You get to play a game at Hilton Coliseum. This is all cool. Now, here's the two things that jumped out at me. One, I thought, man, this is going to be something cool that, you know, mom and dad could send their kid to that idolizes them. No. Pump the brakes on that one because you need to be 25.
Beep.
Yep. 25 Beep. Or older to Beep. Attend this. Here's the second one. And this one's going to knock out about 90% of people that are excited to go to this thing.
To the Fred Hoiberg Fantasy Camp.
$3,500 per camper.
What?
That's what it says. $3,500 per camper. So that immediately got me thinking, who is going to this thing?
Well,
the very first one that jumped out to mind, other than somebody that has money, is I'm going to call it Fantasy Scholarship Dude. Okay, this is the guy that's 25, 27, 28. He's done the math in his head, and he realizes he might actually have some eligibility left. So if I go out and impress Coach Hoiberg and drain some threes, I might actually get on this team.
And Hoiberg's open for transfers. Absolutely.
So we probably had some 25-year-olds on the team since Hoiberg. Darn close. I think we've had 24.
DeAndre Kane.
Yeah.
He was 24.
Yeah.
He's the oldest, I believe.
Yeah.
Another person that's a candidate for this is a woman that completely misread the description and thinks it is a Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp. And they think for $3,500, you get a night with Fred, which is not true. You don't get a night.
That's not it. The Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp, it means like, what, are you living in his house? Like, are you, are you shooting pool at his... in his basement?
You get to watch him vacuum the rug at his house. What do you guys think, though? Honestly, $3,500. I mean, that's steep for a lot of people.
That is very steep. But I was game. I was getting ready to click the register.
When you said, what's the type of guy who would go to this? Gray is the guy I thought of. Adam Gray and his brother JR. Those are the two guys.
But you know what really turned me off here? It says picture opportunity with entire camp. If I got a picture with Hoiberg in the camp,
I feel like for $3,500,
you better damn well give me that picture. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what? I would rupture my other Achilles if I started trying to play right now, running up and down the court at Hilton, which would be a good story. But
I feel like compared to a lot of other guys who could afford a $3,500 Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp, you'd be in pretty good shape, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Because like he said, I mean, I couldn't afford a $3,500 Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp.
I could not either.
I just wonder, I mean, honestly, how – I think it's a good idea. I don't know what this money is going towards. It doesn't say that.
Probably assistant coaches, sure, players probably get some money for helping out.
I would think that Fred gets a good chunk of camp money in his contract, I would think.
Obviously, it's in the middle of summer. That's the other thing that jumped out at me. It's the middle of summer, so how many of the current players are going to be here? You know?
That's what I always thought the camps were for, though. Isn't it a way to give they can make money off this, the players and assistant coaches, and give them a little bit extra cash?
I think there's something to do with that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
I mean, how many people, and it says space is limited, which is, you know, a sales ploy, but... I mean, how many people are going to be at this thing? I mean, 10? 100? It's not going to be 1,000. It's not going to be some huge number.
1,000 Fred Hoiberg fantasy campers.
Is it going to be like, throwing out a donor like, is Mel Weatherwax showing up to this thing? You know, is he going to be out there running around in the baggy shorts? Who will be at this camp? Other than me, when they say, we've heard you on the Fawcast, we want to give you a freebie, come out and shoot some hoops with
that'd
us.
That'd be a great spoof. We could videotape it, like you getting your shot rejected by Jameel McKay.
Is it too much to ask to call up to Fred and say, Fred, listen, we'll plug this thing for next year when you do it again. We just need to experience it for ourselves.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know, but I'd love to watch. I'd love to watch this game
in
Hilton Coliseum.
You should cover it. We should be up there covering it.
Yeah, we should.
It seems like
we have nothing else to do in the summer.
It seems like a legit Cyclone Fanatic story. So why? Yeah, go up and
here's my question.
That's one that Rob can do.
It's really cool that you get your Iowa State home and away jersey and shorts with your personalized name on it. But what 25 and older guy is going to be wearing that?
Well,
yeah. Would you?
But I feel like if you drop $3,500 to go to this, you'd probably wear it around.
I would frame it maybe and put it in my basement or something like that. But there's no way I would wear that. No.
That's the problem.
About dropped an F-bomb right there.
I almost did.
When you're a fan, you can get away with wearing the football jersey. You can wear that to a game or to a Super Bowl party. Nobody shows up in a basketball jersey. It just doesn't. It's not a good look.
And how baggy are these shorts? Are these like Fran McCaffrey short shorts, or are these like legitimate below
your knee
shorts?
I bet they'll be what the players wear.
All right. So they're nice and baggy.
Some swag. Swagberg.
You are right. It was home and away. Home and away official Iowa State basketball uniform.
That's pretty cool.
So it's got to be exactly what they wear. Exactly. Plus 3 sets of Iowa State Nike practice gear, jersey, and shorts. You're walking away with 5 basketball uniforms from this thing. You are. 3 practice ones, 2 official ones.
Charter, you should do this.
I would do this totally for free.
You wouldn't pay $3,500?
No.
I've already gone on record. I can't afford it.
You know why?
Gray has an injury.
I'm going to go on record and say that I can't afford it, but... First of all, June 26th and June 28th, I'm probably going to be pretty darn busy with work if everything goes according to plan. And two, it's I haven't played basketball in a few years.
That's okay.
So, the idea of
Hoiberg will help you. That's why you go to the camp. He's going to make you better.
So, for me, my fantasy camp would be going up and talking to some players and, you know, shooting the bowl with Fred, or it wouldn't be like running up and down the court playing. I'd be like, can I be involved in the camp and just like meet some people and stuff and not play?
Does Fred get on like these guys for taking long twos?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I would pay like $500 to play like a game of horse with George Niang. Like that, you know, that would be a little bit more cool.
That sounds like an NCAA violation.
Well, the money would not go to George.
You know what? You know,
like that kind of stuff, you know, that'd be fun. Just shooting the ball around with a coach or a player like that.
You'd pay $500 to play one game of horse.
I would rather pay $500 than pay $3,500 to run up and down the court with 25 to 50 year old men.
You don't get two nights in a hotel though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what? You know what we need to do here, and I am not promising this because I've already promised Final Four tickets. If I was,
you're going to give away a spot in the Fantasy Camp, aren't you?
If we can find a good way to do it, I would consider giving a listener a spot in this camp.
Why don't you spend $3,500 on more advertising with us?
Well, I can do that too. I can do that too. So the money never ends. Haven't you figured that out yet? It's just, you know, I just go to the tree and I pluck it.
The Hoiberg Fantasy Camp.
It's there.
I will say this. Since I pulled the site up, I am pretty close to signing up Father-Son Camp. Me and Jay go there, dominate the second graders.
Where's that one at?
If you go to summer camps,
yeah, I see that.
You know, Jake will be, he'll be slowing me down a little bit, but I'll just tell him to give me the rock and get out of my way.
That's your speed, 250. A little bit more your speed there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mark, do you have a girl?
I do. The way you pose that is like a girlfriend.
No, I've been thinking, you know.
Do you have a girl?
Yeah. I've been.
I do. I have an 8-month-old daughter.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I thought. So I've got child on the way, obviously. And I was thinking about, my wife and I were talking about this. Because I can't take like you do with Jake. I can't take a kid to an Iowa State football or bat. That's my job.
Yeah.
But I was really hoping to do, I guess it doesn't have to be a girl. But I was at the Iowa State, Kansas State women's game a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And people know this. I'm a staunch advocate of Iowa State's women's basketball program. I love it. I know it's not for everybody.
Me.
It's fine.
I don't have a problem with it either. I just can't get into it. I just can't.
I love the atmosphere. I love everything the Finleys represent. I love everything about it.
Yep.
And I was thinking to myself, my wife and I were talking like some things we'll be able to do as a family. And one thing I really want to do is like I want to be at women's basketball games with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how we got into this, but it was, even if it's a boy, but I it's such a great, if you do have a girl, it's such a great atmosphere to take a young girl into and watch these studs run up and down the floor. And, you know, it's just a cool thing.
Not impossible to get a ticket like it is for the men.
It's a neat atmosphere. I love it.
Does it bother you that you, as long as you're in this role that you're in now, you can never take your child to a football game or a basketball game?
It sucks, kind of. Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining. It's my job, and I'm blessed to be able to do what I do. But it is like the hardest part for me about it is like football tailgating. You know, it's a huge family deal, and I can never be a part of it.
There's
but whatever.
There's never been a case where someone that's a reporter, a news guy, just like brought their kid to like shadow them and sit quietly.
It's frowned upon.
I would assume so. Because sneaking somebody in for free.
I mean, it's happened, but it's frowned upon.
Yeah.
I want to be a little more professional.
The solution is to buy your wife and your child a couple tickets, and there you go.
Well, they'll go to games and stuff, but like, I don't know where I got off on that, but nonetheless, like you mentioned you and Jake going to the camp.
Some of my best memories as a kid are actually going to Iowa State basketball camps. My parents would drop me off. I'd spend 4 days up in Ames playing basketball with my buddies. I loved it. It was a great time.
I always went down to Northwest Missouri State. That's where I went to camp. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And I never went to any camps anywhere. So camps became, not that I'm that much older than you guys, but camps have certainly become way more popular than they were when I was growing up. You know, I grew up before specialties started.
Yeah.
Before it's like, you got to play basketball all year round, blah, blah, blah.
I hate that.
I advertised up at the All-Iowa Attacks new gym. I don't know if you guys have checked that out. It's right by Iowa State's practice facility. It's probably one of the nicest gyms in the country for that type of thing, kind of a old field house feel. And they were saying they expect 500,000 people through that building this year. I think they have tournaments 37 out of the 52 weekends this year. It's big business up there. It definitely is. So that has changed dramatically.
Doesn't that drive you nuts? The specialty thing? I hate it.
Here's why it drives me nuts, especially as a parent that will eventually have a child that will likely go to college. If you do the math, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, if your child really and truly enjoys whatever it is, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, typically this is basketball, they really enjoy it and you really enjoy watching them play and it's a passion and you just really enjoy it, great, more power to you. But so many of these parents are having to travel to weekend tournaments in Tennessee and, you know, Kansas City 1 week, in Minneapolis, Omaha. A lot of them aren't far, but some of them are pretty far away. And every time they go there, it's gas in the car, it's hotels, it's meals, it's all of this stuff, in addition to the money to play. And usually the excuse is, well, we're doing it for a college scholarship. Well, most people from Iowa aren't going to get a college basketball scholarship. They're just not.
Correct.
There's some. The theory goes, okay, you could also stay home, not spend that money, save it, and have the same amount of money to send your kid to college versus pressuring them or not pressuring them, but hoping for a college scholarship. Now, if your kid's great and they're likely to get one, that's the road you need to go down. I understand it. But out of any given tournament on a given weekend, especially in Iowa, 95% of those kids won't have a career in basketball. They won't go to college to play basketball, at least not on a scholarship. So again, if you're doing it for enjoyment, that's one thing. But these parents that drive their kids to, you know, pursue this college scholarship like it's the holy grail.
Yeah.
It's not. So if you're taking the joy out of it for your kids, because sports should be fun.
Yep.
Then I think you're in it for the wrong reason. But if you like to go to these camps because you enjoy it, great, go.
Well, a lot of them are doing it for themselves and not always their kid.
What I find really sad too is you see a lot of kids at a younger age now stop playing multiple sports and focus on one sport. Mm-hmm. I used to coach fifth and sixth grade football, and I had a kid who was a fifth grader. He's a quarterback for me, great, great football player. He didn't come and play football as a sixth grader because his parents wanted him to focus on one sport, so he's focusing on baseball. Yeah. And I just thought that was really sad. I mean,
that's way too young.
Yeah, I grew up, I played three or four sports. Mm-hmm. I wasn't great at any sports. I probably wasn't even good at most of them, but I enjoyed them.
It's not about if you're good.
Exactly. And, you know.
My only experience, I obviously don't have kids, but I coached Little League Baseball back home in Clarinda for two summers, where I was in charge of the Little League program. And, I mean, it just amazed me in rural Iowa how many people think that their kid is legitimately the next Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like, it's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. These are like third graders.
The odds Clarinda.
The odds are astronomical. You're right, though. So sixth grade is way too early to specialize. We have people – think about Jameis Winston. He doesn't even specialize. He was talking about going and playing baseball again. So you don't have to specialize. I think that's ridiculous. But again, when I was growing up, it was really common. I mean, it was literally one season into another. I remember football would end, and then it was boom, right into basketball right away. Basketball would end right into track, you know, with very little time in between them.
And sometimes you'd miss the first week or two of practices because the other sport was going on.
Yeah, and that was just the way it is. But anymore, you're right, at the high school ranks especially, a lot of those guys are only doing one or two versus four.
Yeah.
You used to be common. If you were a jock, you know, at Ames High for the most part where I was, you were playing everything.
Yeah. Ames High.
Ames High gets high. So, well, that's not how it goes.
Aim high, aims high, isn't it? The only reason I say that is because...
Aims high.
Oh, is that how it is?
Yeah. A-M-E-S. Aims high, A-I-M-S. Aims high.
It's kind of lame.
I didn't make it, so...
Arnott always does that.
That's he says like, aims high, aims high?
Yeah, him and Ian Smith. You know Ian?
I don't.
He used to write for us.
Younger bloke?
He's like a year older than me. Whatever.
I need to open some candy. Don't mind me.
Do we have any reason to be concerned about Texas Tech in a trap game, anything like that? I mean, you got Texas coming up on Monday. Big Monday. Another big game. Iowa State's played in a lot of big games lately. Don't fall asleep on your trip to Lubbock. I don't think so, but what do you guys think?
By the way, Fanatics, can we stop calling every game a potential trap game? I don't care what game is coming up. You go onto the forum and look, and someone's like, is this a trap game? And they're always referring to our next opponent.
Yeah.
I think that term gets overused.
I didn't see Kansas State as a trap game at all. They were the first place team in the conference.
Yeah,
I saw some people. That was not a trap game. No. That's at home. And it's not in between. No. You know, if it was in between Texas and Kansas, maybe. But
They'll beat Texas Tech primarily because of the Baylor game. That was the learning experience on the road that showed them you got to wake up when the ball is tipped and get off to a good start. So I see them winning.
If they were playing TCU, I might think maybe it's a trap game because I think TCU's got enough decent players.
Yeah, I agree.
Present a challenge on the road. I don't see that with Texas Tech. They just can't score enough.
They're bad.
I mean, even if Iowa State comes and starts slow, like they've been doing a lot of lately, if they start slow, I don't think it's going to matter in this game. They're still going to score enough points to win this game by 15-20.
Tech's 0-9 or 0-6, 10-9. Overall.
Yeah. And I don't think, have they even been within single digits of a game in the Big 12?
I don't know. I could find that out for you. They just got blown out by Oklahoma State.
Lost by 20.
Yeah. They, at Kansas State, they only lost by 7.
Okay.
And they only lost by, looks like 9 to Texas.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess they're capable of playing.
You still got to play them. You got to earn them. But there's no. You could look at this game a million different ways, and there's no way you look at it and say Iowa State won't win.
I would agree.
I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's why I so arrogantly let off the podcast. Okay, so let's look at other games in the Big 12 then. We've broken this down last night on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, obviously. Iowa State. Here's a good one, gentlemen. Kansas on the road at Texas.
Ooh, real good one.
And it's intriguing for Iowa State, too, because Texas comes to Ames on Saturday or on Monday.
I think Texas is the most talented team in the Big 12 this year. I don't.
I think I agree with that, actually.
Yeah,
you guys are such haters.
They just don't have this identity that I see Iowa State having.
I
right
agree.
Now.
Yeah.
I think they should win against Kansas at home.
They should have beaten Oklahoma, too.
They should have beat Oklahoma State on the road. That was one of the worst losses I think I've seen. They had no business losing that game. I you know what? Give me Texas at home there. I don't love that team, even though they have a tremendous amount of talent. I don't like Rick Barnes as a coach. I think he's X's and O's wise, typically gets out-coached in games. But they have talent. They have height. It's at home. Crowd will be into it because Kansas is there. Texas.
I still think Kansas is like a I think they're like a 6 or 7 loss Big 12 team this year.
Gosh, I hope you're right, man.
I loved watching them blow a 19-point lead the other night. Now, unfortunately, they won, but it was still fun to watch them blow that lead at home against Oklahoma.
Why are we haters? Why did you call us haters right there?
Because you guys said that Texas is more talented than Iowa State.
I don't think they're a better team.
No,
you said they're more talented. Yeah. So more talented typically means, if you believe talent wins out, it typically means they are better. They'll have a better record. I think Iowa State wins the Big 12. I don't think Texas wins the Big 12.
No, I think that Iowa State will win the Big 12 too.
So you guys should just take off your Cyclone jerseys. Show the Hawk jersey underneath.
He just got done talking about how he didn't think Rick Barnes is as good of a coach. I think Hoiberg can.
He's not. I don't think there's a lot of coaches that are better than Hoiberg. But I'm just saying.
But I think Hoiberg would love to have Miles Turner on his team.
And Holmes and Isaiah.
Yeah, I mean
Monte Morris is good, but Taylor's really good too.
I'd take Monte Morris.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying he's maybe second best point guard, third. I mean, he's still very good.
He's up there. He's in the conversation. Yeah.
And Cameron Ridley. I mean, you name it, they got.
It's a different type of team.
Yeah, it is.
It's a different type of team, but I don't know. The Big 12 is such a cluster. You know, like the tightest guy from Grantland, kid who used to play for. Ohio State. Did you read that?
Did he play?
Mm-mm. Or he rode the pine.
Yeah.
But he's very entertaining. I should actually read that. He had a take on Iowa State's fan base that is just spot freaking on.
I did read that.
Did you read that?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I laughed.
About how no matter what somebody posts about, it turns into is Monte Morris the best point guard in the NFL?
Kind of gosh. I laughed so hard.
What does that have to do with anything?
But he I thought his analysis was pretty good, though.
I did, too.
On the whole stinking league, like right now, it looks like Iowa State's the best team, but probably in 2 weeks, there'll be another team on top, and it'll all sift itself out in March. I still think Oklahoma's got some fight left. They're 3-3 right now. I think that they're going to be in the conversation.
So what's your prediction right now for the winner of the Big 12?
Iowa State? Yeah.
You're on board fully?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Gray?
Iowa State, I'm not fully on board. Just like
I am. I said after Saturday they will win an Allen Fieldhouse this year.
I sure hope so. They played good down there.
This is the year. They will win this year.
Iowa State needs continued swagger. That's what the team misses. Like, every once in a while they get in this rut where they just look I'm always reminded of the UConn game last year in the tournament when we lost. They looked scared. I couldn't describe it any other way watching them. Like, we looked scared. And when you're scared, you know, you take a pass instead of catching it cleanly. It kind of bounces off your hands because you're nervous and shaking a little bit. We have games where we don't look like that. We've had a few games where we kind of look like that. We got to get out of our own way.
Yeah.
And big plays typically do it. The Nader block the other day against K-State.
Yeah.
That was kind of what set us over the top and won that game. Hitting big threes at the right time, whatever. So much of winning is believing you're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not convinced night in and night out they think that. But if they do, then they're going to be really tough to beat by almost anybody, frankly.
I think the team's starting to really figure out their identity too, especially with McKay now joining. I mean, you saw when he first got to Iowa State and started playing. South Carolina game, we couldn't score. Okie State game, we couldn't score.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're finding ways to get him the ball, to get him some easier buckets, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you see a score over 80 points against Kansas.
The second half of Baylor, I thought, is when it really, that tide kind of
yeah. turned. And you're seeing Nader now, too. Nader's so much more comfortable than he was at the beginning of the year. He's affecting both on offense and defense. So I think Iowa State is still on the way of going up. Where they can get even better, and that's why I'm taking them to win the Big 12. But it goes back to the point. I mean, this time last week, I sat here telling you how good I thought West Virginia was, and they go and just get absolutely run mm-hmm. out of the gym at Texas. The Big 12 is so deep, you just never know. It could be you're going to see a lot of ups and downs.
You got to look at teams who can win on the road, who are capable of winning on the road. And the way West Virginia plays, they're, you know, with that type of pressure, they're much better off playing at home.
Absolutely.
I think Iowa State used to be that way. But now I think they've shown the ability where they, you know, they can take their style ball, especially with Jameel McKay.
Because they can get stops now.
Exactly.
You got to get stops in the road.
Now they've kind of taken that next step, I feel like, as a program where they can go and win at mm-hmm. West Virginia. They should have won at Baylor. I absolutely think they can win at Kansas. So that's why I'm going with them.
They're getting over the hump, but they're not there. But I've noticed a few things in the last few games. Kansas game, BDJ was great. A lot of hustle mm-hmm. out of him. You know, we're going back a week now, but fantastic in that game.
He did the same, I thought, against Kansas State early.
His effort is great. It wasn't for a few games, but now it is. Nader coming off the bench, hitting big shots, looking great. Jameel has been as advertised, especially when it came to everyone said he's a rim protector. That's what they were saying. Darn right he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been playing great.
Three blocks a game.
Out of everyone that's not playing great, the only one that jumps to mind is Matt Thomas, who still looks like he's kind of in a daze and over his head. And I don't know if he's going to get out of that. But he hasn't been playing a lot probably because of that.
Well, what I've noticed too is I feel like Fred's really giving him opportunities mm-hmm. maybe more than he's deserved mm-hmm. based off of his play, because I think Fred knows how fragile Matt Thomas is. And if you just leave him on the bench, it's not going to – because he's a guy you can use. Mm-hmm. You know, if he can reach his potential, you can absolutely use him.
Yep.
And I feel like Fred is really trying to put him in good spots. The shots just aren't falling, and it's all confidence, and he clearly doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that, Adam?
No, Thomas's confidence looks game by game. Some days he comes in there, he looks like he's quick and ready. He's ready to shoot the ball. He gets a pass. He wants to put it up. Other times he looks like he just doesn't. He's not comfortable, not a lot of confidence. And that's the one thing. It seems like every guy on our team oozes confidence at some point. Matt Thomas is the one that needs to get that. If he gets that, he's a guy. He doesn't need to score 7-8 points a game for us. 4-5. Just something to stretch
the defense.
He just
needs to give you 2 or 3 games in the league where he sets up and hits 4 threes.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
Just to keep the defense spread out.
He pretty much did last year. I mean, he had the Kansas State game. You know what I mean? There were 2 or 3 games where Matt Thomas really helped you win.
He helped us win Okie State this year, Alabama this year.
He almost did it at Okie State. He had 2 in a row when we weren't hitting anything.
Yep.
He kind of broke the streak of all the missed threes. But since then, he's disappeared.
I want to say he's 0 for 6 on threes his last 3 games.
Yeah. So. And he's a guy who, you know, we all watched him go through this last year. Fred Hoiberg talked about this last year, just about how mental of a player he is. And it's not even Fred said he was that way. And you've got to get over that hump. Talk about Iowa State's offense getting over the hump, which we all think it has. I don't believe Matt has, though.
You know what Fred used to do, though? And Fred's he was a better athlete than Thomas. If he couldn't hit a three, he would get to the paint, you know?
And he'd get more rebounds.
And Thomas, he's got a handle on him. He can go to the paint. It's, once again, I don't think he's got the confidence that he doesn't trust himself, or maybe he doesn't think his teammates trust him, to drive to the lane and look at maybe hitting that little floater.
Flipping a switch, by the way, mentally, is 100% possible. I'm gonna let me go back to the glory days for just a second here because I have a valid point. My senior year in high school, the first game we played that year was at Valley, and I had a crappy game. I was supposed to. It was like preseason all conference. Supposed to have a good game. But didn't. Caught one ball. Dropped a couple, whatever. And I remember after that game, the next game we played was at Fort Dodge.
Wait, when you dropped a couple passes, did Iowa State coaches offer you? So that's what we looked for on our team? Okay.
They unfortunately did not. So, but after that game, I remember specifically getting to a point after a week of practice to say, you know what, I'm not going to drop another ball this year. And I didn't just say it to myself, I believed it, because I convinced myself there's no reason to do it. You know, it's like, catch the ball, it's there, just catch it. And I went the rest of the season. I won't say, technically you could probably look at game tape and say, you might have dropped that one, although I'll say it was deflected. But other than that, pretty much the rest of the season, I didn't drop anything. And the difference was complete switch in confidence from, I don't need to be this player, I can be this player. Matt Thomas can do that. Now, no one can do that for him. No one can say, you're a great shooter, go out and do it. He has to wake up one day and say, I'm going to hit my threes. I'm going to play better. I'm going to catch every pass that's thrown my way. So it's him. It's not something that's solvable in practice.
No.
It's not something Hoiberg can convince him of. He has to get up and say, I'm one of the best shooters in the Big 12 and prove it. But it can happen.
It can.
And I still think it will for him, but it's not happening yet.
And one thing that I think will really help him, too, is getting a haircut. Because his new hairdo is awful.
You're not a fan of that?
Who's?
Matt Thomas's.
Does he color his hair, by the way?
I don't know.
Because it looks darker to me some games and lighter the next.
I hate that look. That short on the side, kind of like that high comb over type look. I'm sorry. I don't care for it.
I don't even know. I didn't even notice that Matt Thomas had a new haircut.
It's a little different. It's slowly getting longer on the top and staying shorter on the side. It's like everyone's trying to be Ryan Gosling. I'm sorry, you don't look like Ryan Gosling.
Speaking of
you
photos, don't. Like fanatics out there listening, like so Chris Williams' picture, the publisher picture on Fanatic, I don't think that looks like you at all.
It's pretty dated.
Like ever since I've known you, like if I looked at this picture and then someone said, "Do you know who that is?" I'd almost be like, "No, who is that?"
I mean,
it doesn't look like you,
it's
in
like
my opinion.
Probably like 4 years old.
And you were freshly shaven there. I don't know if I've seen you shave since.
That might be it. Your hair is a little bit more high and tight.
I don't shave anymore.
No, I know.
I refuse.
Like
to shave.
The nightgown picture over here, that looks a lot more like you than the publisher picture does.
That's a Iowa Clinic robe. Not a nightgown.
Is it open in the back? Are your butt cheeks showing?
It's tied. And I believe I have underwear on underneath. Thank you very much.
They did not make you go sans underwear, by the way.
Yeah.
Before
it's
I forget,
all natural.
Pretty soon you're going to say we're running out of time. I need to do my word of the week, and we're going away from women completely.
Okay. We do need to get to the word of the week and wrap this bad boy up.
Word of the week is completely tame and innocent this week, but it is a word that I actually hate because it represents our self-centered, me-first society that we live in now. Look at teenagers walking around and what they do, et cetera. It's getting worse, people. The word I hate this week is selfie. I do not like that. It's a completely manufactured word. It did not exist more than a few years back. People look like idiots when they're out trying to take.
I do selfies all the time.
A selfie. Well, you can do them. The word sucks. Okay.
So you don't have a problem with the act itself. You just don't like the word.
Well, I've taken one myself, but I would say I took a photo of myself for some reason. But
I shot this photo of myself.
What do you think of 30-year-old men taking selfies of themselves and their dog?
Yeah, you're right up Chris's alley there. So I'm not going to recap the we can't recap the words anymore from the previous week because then somebody can just listen to one podcast and get all the words. So now if you want the trip to the Final Four, you got to go back and listen to some old stuff. But
they get all moist.
The word of the week is selfie.
Selfie.
See, I have one selfie rule. I don't want, or two actually. Don't do them very often. Because if you do them too much, then they lose their luster.
Yeah.
They've got to be significant of some sort. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some significance there.
Huh.
Like, you can't just do like the random, oh, I'm out, I'm at a basketball game selfie.
Selfie, yeah.
You know what I mean?
By the way, speaking of, so I just went on this long diatribe of the fact that I hate the word selfie. I took a selfie yesterday, and I'll show you guys what this is of. But we have an awards banquet coming up for real estate agents, and the theme this year is selfie or something like that.
The theme is selfie?
Well, the theme is, you know, something fun or whatever. But as they announce awards and sales volumes and stuff like that, we're supposed to submit a selfie, a fun selfie, funny selfie, whatever. That they'll show on the big screen at Prairie Meadows during this
okay.
time. So I did one yesterday. Here's my selfie. You can describe
oh,
that.
Oh, that's nice.
You can describe that to the crowd. That will be shown in it front is, of all my peers.
You're sucking on a passy.
While yeah. holding a doll.
Yes.
A baby doll.
So they're going to say, hey, Mark Charter sold a bunch of stuff. He's legit, people. And then they're going to show that picture.
I like
so,
it.
I have no shame.
That's good branding.
I have no shame.
All right, Charter, you got a thread going on right now, right? About when's the best time to sell your house? Is this correct?
It wasn't my idea, but what I saw today was the National Association of Realtors released a graphic that shows the 10 most popular days that people listed their homes last year in 2014. And the point of showing that is if you don't want to be listing your home when everybody else is listing their home,
stay away.
Stay away from them. Do it earlier, do it later, et cetera, because that represents a lot more competition for you.
Fair enough.
It is fair enough. Yeah.
I appreciate your threads. It seems like the fanatics are really taking to the real estate threads.
They are. They've been very nice. We had somebody win $100 yesterday.
Oh, somebody actually won?
I said somebody would win. It wasn't like there was a guaranteed winner on that one.
Good.
Who is it? Who won?
Who won? Give him a shout out.
DP McLean. Brian McLean.
Is that what it is? Brian, that sounds right. Do you know Brian?
No.
We're giving like actual names away on the podcast now?
Well, it's up on the website.
It's on the website because yeah. I took a screenshot of it. But this is perfect. This is the society we live in. We were talking about the type of people that post a little bit earlier. So I posted, here's a contest, here's the way to win it. And I'll post a screenshot of the winner. That was basically what I said yesterday, $100 to the first person that did what I asked. So we had a winner and then I posted that. And instead of people going back on and saying like, congratulations to the winner or whatever, topics quickly divert into something completely else or something different. So
shocking.
It became, oh, one person posted, your battery is almost dead because they could see the battery on my screenshot. Another posted, he had to Google how to do a screenshot, which I did. I never remember the codes on the Mac.
I do it every time I Google, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like people in this day and age, even you beautiful fanatics out there, they just look at the smallest things to nitpick and like start something.
Yeah.
It's like, just be nice, people. Yeah. Just be nice.
Just say, hey, thanks for the opportunity.
I gave away $100.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, but you know, hey, you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You get to have fun, right?
Tell me about it. Guys, it's fun. It's a good podcast.
It was.
I hope the people enjoyed the new country intro.
We have a new intro. We talked about the Fred Hoiberg fantasy camp. We talked about bad parenting with athletics.
When's your baby due, by the way?
February 20th.
Coming up. So you got a month.
I don't think we're going to get there.
Early?
Yeah.
Based on anything at all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think it'll be early.
So
Chris, the wife has really dropped.
Gray, before,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Gray, before you got in here, by the way, Chris was letting me in on the secrets of how actually neurotic he is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Great, I need
it every day.
I need to learn more. Because I see you like once a week. We record this stuff. You seem normal.
No, the people who really know me, which not that many people really know me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of insane.
See, I don't know if I want to get to really know him.
I got a feeling you two are a lot alike, I'm guessing.
No,
I never turn it off either, do you? Your mind is always going.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that's how Chris is. Just never turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I am.
But when you say never turn it off, like you're always thinking about like the next article you want to write, or you're always like work-based, or what are you always thinking
about?
Pretty
much, yeah.
He worries about everything.
Yeah. I mean, in my business, to get successful in my business, you can't turn it off.
Correct.
There's no off days.
That's
in my
how
career.
Journalism is. That's how our business is.
The day that I take a week off and don't answer an email or a phone call is the day I start to get behind.
Yeah.
So you do have your moments where like that feels really scary at times because you see other friends that have their 9-to-5s, their weekends are totally theirs to do whatever they want to. I'm not complaining. I have a great career. I'm happy to have it. But to be the best at what you want to do, if that's your goal, you have to constantly
be plugged in to that. Be nuts.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You gotta
be a little crazy.
Like I said before on this podcast, I've said I literally shower with my phone. I mean, I put it not with me. I don't put soap on it, but I put it up on the ledge so I can see it if it's ringing, so I can look at it real quick. And if it's important, I'll stop the shower and take the call.
And
so,
you stand there in the freezing cold.
Now people are going. So when I call Mark, he's probably naked. There's a good chance of that.
Have you ever taken my call naked?
I don't think you text me. I've texted you. Yeah, for sure.
You've texted me with just hanging out.
Yeah. Like, I'll grab the phone.
It's good to know because I've done the same with you.
If it's not a phone call, I will stand there in the shower and text.
How do you not get your phone all wet?
Because it's behind me. I turn around and the water's
behind me. So you wipe your hand off and then you text.
Got the towel hanging over the top and I grab the towel and then I grab the phone and see who's texting me.
We've probably texted each other naked before.
So people, like friends... We're not at this level yet, but there's been many times when someone's texting me or whatever, you know, just a buddy like, hey, what are you doing? And I'll do a quick shot of what I'm doing, which is showering at the time, usually not ass. All the way down.
Did you ask them?
But yeah, and then I'll send it to them and they're like, oh, thanks for that. So
have you ever done a full frontal to a friend while in the shower?
I've done a full frontal to a friend. Yeah, I don't know if I was in the shower.
Was it?
That's the greatest though. That's the full frontal.
No,
that's a great friend prank. It's harmless too. If it's a male, you know, you can't send it to the women. That would be kind of weird.
Then you got like Brett Favre.
Think. Okay, you're just sitting there, you know, everyday life. You're grabbing some lunch or whatever. Boom, your phone, you know, goes off and just absentmindedly. You grab your phone and you look to see what just got texted to you. And next thing you know, you're looking at me full frontal.
I did it.
I mean, that's a great prank amongst friends.
I got a text when I was on vacation this year from my best friend. And it was a text of this guy who we went to high school with. He had posted a classified on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
Full frontal.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was not a fun thing to wake up to. But then I showed it to my mom, and it was hilarious.
This is to clarify something, because as you're talking, Gray's showing me a post on Fanatic from a guy that might be interested in hiring me.
A full frontal?
No full frontal. So sometimes people wonder like what I'm actually like. If you listen to this podcast, this is what I'm like. I think I'm pretty legit on this. But I will say this: when it's time to work, I'll go to work. But I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it too. And no, I won't send you naked full frontals if you're my client. But if you become a fantastically good friend of mine, prepare yourself because it may be coming.
That's up in the cloud now. You can never get that photo back.
That is in the cloud.
I've always been one of those guys where if anything that I send to anybody else, I'm well aware that it could get out there. And if a picture of me ended up on the internet, well, first of all, who wants to see it? Second of all, I wouldn't care. I honestly wouldn't care.
Gosh, we need to end this.
I think the best part of this podcast was here at the end.
People are like, no, keep going. Keep going.
We got to go.
I bet Chris has sent something like what I'm talking about, too. He just doesn't want to admit it.
No, I've never sent a full frontal, no.
Did Jen Sturgis?
She's the Favre.
The Favre. Yeah. With your Crocs on.
By the way, for the record, don't send... anybody really, but women, don't send them a Favre. There isn't a girl on the planet that thinks a photo like that is a good thing.
How do you think I got my wife, though?
Yeah, not that way. I assure you, they do not find that appealing.
All right, people, join us at the keg stand tomorrow. Mark, can you come?
I've got some meetings, but I will try.
If you can get there, do it. It'll be fun.
I will try.
Gray and I will be there watching the game. And then...
I need to try to meet some fanatics out there.
It'd be great. Wear your Mark Charter Real Estate shirt and people will... Booyah. I had a guy come up to me at the game the other night. This is 100% true. Kid told me he loves the podcast. He goes, but I love the podcast. That's my favorite.
Love it.
I've heard that a time or two as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I usually hear great podcast. It's my favorite one. Gray sucks, but you guys are pretty good. That's typically the
order.
That's
par for the course.
he's over here. He's not even denying it.
I'm just nodding my head. Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Mark Charter Real Estate, and of course, Adam Gray. I'm Chris. So long, everybody. Have a great weekend.